Well, it is, oh my goodness, hello, wow, it is October, boy is that loud, hello, testing, 1, 2, so nothing is working tonight, my goodness gracious, this is so weird, I actually don't know if we're going to be able to do a show, the wires are all crossed, I can see that it's working, but I can't hear anything, so that is very strange. And let's see if we can hold the wires together here for a minute. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSO News Sports. And we do have North Shore Sports Night coming up tonight if I can actually get this thing to work. But it doesn't seem to want to cooperate for some reason or other. Trying new software, new computer, all kinds of new stuff, and it just ain't cooperating. That's all there is to that. And I don't know why. So, bear with us. We'll get this thing going here in a second. All right. I think we have it connected. Sorry about that. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. New computer, new software. And we had to change things back over to the old computer and old software. And that's why we are where we are. So, this is North Shore Sports Night. I am Rick Moore. And Tim Kearns, not available this evening. We hope to talk to him later. And Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. We do have a program lined up here if everybody's still with us, if our guests are still with us, and I hope that they are. We'll be talking with Hamilton Wenham High School girls soccer coach Nancy Waddell here in just a few minutes, hopefully, as they're unbeaten with a record of 5-0-2, and she's actually at a baseball game tonight. We'll probably get a little bit more about that. We're going to check in with Captain Abby Sturm of Hamilton Wenham. Also talk later on with Jared Scarpacci of Hamilton Wenham, one of the most successful boys soccer programs in all of Massachusetts. And then we'll check in also with Gary Larrabee, Mike Grenier. We're going to talk to those boys as well. So let me take a quick break here, see if I can get somebody on the line. I apologize for our late start. We'll see what we can do here. This is MSO News Sports.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
All right, it is Halloween, so Ghost in the Machine tonight. This is the worst start I've had in years, but hey, the Patriots didn't look too good last night either. All right, we want to welcome Nancy Waddell, who is the Hamilton Wenham High School girls soccer coach. And coach, welcome back to MSO.
Thanks very much.
It's been a while, and you guys off to a terrific start. Well, off to. I mean, the season's more than halfway over now, isn't it?
I guess we'll play 12 total, and we're seven
okay.
Down.
Just past halfway. All right, very good. And tell me a little about where were you? You were at a baseball game tonight?
I was at my son's minor league fall championship game. That's 2 out of 3, so this was number 2, so it's 1-1.
All right, where was that? Was that Patton Park?
Patton Park, yeah.
All right, what a great place, beautiful place. Could be a little bit warmer, but we had a... All right, so, Coach, tell me about what's going on here. I mean, before we get to a little bit about your captain that we're going to talk to, hopefully in a few minutes here, a 5-0-2 start, a tremendous, tremendous beginning under the conditions. You know, everybody else is going through this, but a little bit about what it was like in preseason, how things kind of got together. What was some of the things that were different this year?
I think the biggest issue is just the touch and go feel of it. Are we playing? When's the season going to start? What are we going to have to do? It took a good week just to get into the flow of warming up in cohorts, the contact tracing, wearing the masks. We got all used to all of that, and then the game time came and we really weren't sure how the referees were going to interpret the rules. And so the first couple of games, asked a lot of questions before the game, just saying, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And the rules really haven't made as much of a difference as I thought they would. It's really been a great game, and you know, yes, it's different, and every once in a while you get a call that you're like, oh, that's a COVID call. But other than that, we've been able to play and enjoy it, and it's just the masks are just part of the game now, and we socially distance as much as we can, and you know, now it's just kind of part of what we do.
I heard a parent who was a former official the other day talking about some of the officiating, and what's your view on it? You just mentioned it, and I know I would never ask you to criticize or complain, but in terms of consistency, it's been pretty well done.
The nice part for us is that the COVID rules have not been a deciding factor in a game,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's the most important piece. Sure, there's inconsistency. The rules don't always make sense, and the rules don't always fit perfectly into the game. And I give the referees a lot of credit. It's never an easy job, but this is definitely harder than it ever has been before.
For sure. All right. So tell me about this team. You guys off to the start. Tell me about a highlight or two, and how the ladies are playing.
Oh, they're playing tremendously. They work really hard together. It's a great team to watch. You know, we have our superstars, but it seems like on any given day anyone can be a superstar. And you take all my superstars together, and that's what makes us so strong. Our defense certainly has been leading us. They've been just tremendous, giving up one goal so far this season, and they've played a lot of minutes and have really marked some strong players and give them a lot of credit. And offensively, we were really clicking earlier in the season. We've gotten a little bit away from our possession game, and we're trying to get that back. Hopefully that'll happen tomorrow. We were working a lot on that in practice today. But just a great group of girls that are happy to be playing soccer this year.
Biggest challenge for you so far?
Trying to figure out how to make the most of free kicks, because that is probably the biggest difference. A lot of indirect free kicks, because anytime it's a COVID call, it's indirect. So trying to figure out how to defend that, trying to figure out how to score the most goals off of that. Every once in a while, communication is an issue. You're trying to talk through a mask. My voice doesn't carry very well across the field, so
right.
With a mask on,
right.
Pretty much. They don't hear anything I say. They just kind of wave at me and keep playing hard. So I would say those the mask definitely can get in the way in that sense. But and I also have to just point out that I miss being able to see what's under the mask. It's hard to, you know, how excited they are, but it's, you really do miss something when you're having a season like this and you can't see the girls enjoying it fully. I know they are, but I can't see it.
Yeah, that's funny. I mentioned to someone the other day, I'm trying so hard to smile with my eyes so that you can see that.
Exactly.
And it is, the facial expressions and stuff. All right, brag about some of your kids.
Well, you're going to be talking to Abby Sturm, who's one of our senior captains, and I'm not sure I've ever seen a player work as hard as she has in the off season. Just came back in tremendous shape. Ready to play, really fine-tuned her game, but also just as a leader, she really pulled these girls together along with our other captain, Maddie Rosted, and just had them playing throughout the summer as much as they could, given all of the restrictions. Abby is just upbeat and has really taken a couple players under her wing, and it just has made all the difference for our team. She had an ankle injury that slowed her a bit, but I'm hoping she's back at 100% tomorrow night.
All right, and who? How's the league looking? Who's your biggest competitor in the league now? What's it look like the rest of the way for you guys?
Well, we've got Georgetown, Manchester, Essex, and Triton left. Georgetown hasn't been able to play a lot of games because this will be the second time that we've traveled up to Georgetown. The last game we couldn't play because of a COVID-related issue, and so this is rescheduled. So they haven't played a lot, so a little bit unknown, and they played Pentucket, who's the other team who's who we just beat on Saturday, but has a lot of skill in their team. And Georgetown held them 1-1, so certainly a little concerned about Georgetown and how we show up for that game, despite their record. And then we play Manchester Essex, who we've been in a lot of battles with over the past few years in the Cape Ann League, and always seems to be a pretty intense game when the two of us play. So that's then we wrap up with Triton, which I don't know a whole lot about, but certainly three games that we'd like to make it through with some good success.
Yeah, Triton seems to be good in everything every year. Coach, finally, tell me about that defense and your goaltending. You said one goal so far?
One goal, yes. L. Carter, our senior goalkeeper. Didn't see a whole lot of action for a while, but certainly showed up Saturday and played a terrific game. Libby Collins is our sweeper. We have Jackie Chapdelaine and Molly Doan on the outside and Captain Maddie Rosted at stopper, and they've I can't even tell you how many minutes they've played together. And they just do what they need to do. Put them on speed, put them on skill, whatever it is. So they've really been working hard, and it's a great unit we've got going right now.
You know, I don't even know if I should say this, but there's got to be some tremendous gratification, even though it's a shortened season, rules have changed and so on, in the fact that you're able to get out there and coach and work with these kids. It's got to feel pretty good.
Oh, no question about it. We're doing, during the summer, I'm just allowed to do fitness sessions, and that was great, just to see the girls, just to have them out, just to know that they had somewhere to go, something to do. So the fact that we actually made it to soccer and have made it to this point in the season really has just been tremendous, and certainly know what the possibilities are for this winter as far as whether or not we're going to be able to have winter sports. So I feel incredibly lucky that that we've gotten to this point, and hopefully we'll make it a few more weeks and can wrap everything up and play a complete season.
That's great. There's certain catchphrases out there, but I know it's going to get better. I don't know when, but it will get better. So congratulations, Coach, and keep it going. Keep those messages coming in so we can post those for you as well.
Great. Thanks very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That is Coach Nancy Waddell, who is the Hamilton Wenham girls soccer coach, and forgive me if I'm screwing names up here because I'm doing 18 things with these computers. And it's just one of those evenings, that's all. Something in the air, I suppose. But 5-0-2 so far in the Cape Ann League, doing great. Next up, we'll be talking with her captain, one of her captains, Abby Sturm. And this is MSO News Sports. Looking forward to that, and hope it works out all right on this end. So we'll be right back.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
All righty, we are back now talking with Hamilton Wenham girls soccer captain, one of the captains, Abby Sturm. And Abby, welcome to MSO. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, you're a senior captain. I bet this is just what you envisioned, you know, when you went to the high school as a freshman a few years ago, thinking, oh, man, my senior year is going to be a breeze. It's going to be so much fun. And here you are, no stress at all.
Yeah, it was not anything I expected.
All right. Tell me a little bit about what it's like going into the season. Coach said that she's very impressed with your work ethic and how hard you worked in the off season, how you're bringing the kids together. As captain, tell me a little bit about your role and how you approach it, and then we'll get into maybe some of the goings-on this year. But as captain, senior, I mean, what does it mean to be a captain at Hamilton Wenham?
For me, it really means to make sure being really close. I think one of the what I'm playing for 3 years now, it's my fourth year. If our team's really close, we play better on the field together. And I think this year it definitely helped. We're all very, very close with each other. My grade and the have played together for almost like 5 years now straight, so that definitely helps. And also just kind of being that leadership role and telling people to like focus in when they need to, and just providing that encouragement on the field too definitely helps.
Tell me about a couple of your teammates, Abby, if you would. Maybe a couple of the kids that you've been together for a while, and how you guys work together.
So the two forward starters, junior starters, named Kara O'Shea and Claire Nistel, I've been playing with them for so long now. It definitely, like, it just is so great. We were on the same eighth grade town team, and then I've just been on their team forever, and they've... you can really tell we've been working together for a while. They bring me up, I'll bring them up during the game, and we'll just all kind of like, you know, like just encourage each other. And we play really well together. They'll lay it off to the center mid, me and Jane McGuire, and we'll just like play through balls with them. It's just been awesome.
What's the talk like before practice or before a game? In other words, what's changed? You had a routine before all this stuff, you know, with the virus and the social distancing, but you had a regular routine that you probably had going on for quite a few years. What has changed with that, and has it affected the game on how you guys play the game at all?
So that was kind of the hard thing going into the season, is we didn't really know if we were going to have a season or not, so it was kind of hard to motivate people during the summer to stay in shape and everything, but we were able to kind of stay in shape and just go into the season that way. The COVID rules are very weird to us. We kind of just try playing it normally as we can, but obviously the no contact rule has been the hardest one for us.
Yeah.
We kind of just had to adjust to it and play that way.
You got 4 goals so far, is that right?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Favorite goal up to this point?
Probably the one against Ipswich when Jane put a through ball through the Ipswich defense, and I had to run onto it and just place it in the net. That was pretty memorable.
Excellent. All right. What's your academics like? What are you carrying for a load?
Right now I take 3 AP classes, which has been a lot of work, but just kind of, I like soccer, putting that. Soccer really makes me stay on schedule, and I have to make sure I do my work right when I get home after soccer. I just do my work, and then I have to go to the classroom, and so it kind of definitely keeps me in my own routine.
What do you got for AP classes? What are they?
I take AP economics, psychology, and statistics.
And you know that we teachers expect more from you guys, and so I imagine the remote learning is, your teachers probably have very high expectations and a little pressure on you at this point. What are you looking for next year, Abby, after high school?
I'm only looking to play in college for one college, but the other colleges I'm kind of just looking at to, I'm only looking at playing college for a D3 school, but that's only St. Lawrence that I get a chance to, but mm-hmm. Other colleges I'm looking at are UConn, UVM, and UNH, which I'm really looking forward to.
I'm sure you're going to get your pick of any of them. What do you think you might want to pursue and major in?
I think I've been looking a lot about like business and marketing, like sports marketing specifically, and management. That's been very interesting to me.
Well, I the vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers, I'm going to name drop here, Barry Hanrahan, is a former student of mine. We just had him on last week, so you should go to our website and listen to last week's show. And you never know, maybe you know, you can get in touch with him, and I'd be happy to drop your name here once you're in the school, because he went to Gloucester High School. And I think he majored in sports management or sports marketing, something like that. And he now is the vice president and general manager of the Flyers. So you're on a really good path.
That's awesome. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know it. Any would it be soccer related necessarily, or do you just want to make a career in working with sports?
I just want to make a career in working with sports. I'm a big Patriots fan, so it just kind of all works together for me.
Good for you. That's excellent. Well, Abby, maybe one more mention about your teammates here and how you guys are playing so well. At 5-0-2, you've got a really good shot to have a great season. And tell me a little bit more maybe about your other captain.
The other captain, Maddie Rossa, she and I have been playing soccer with each other for probably 11 years straight now. So that's just been awesome. She's a really good friend of mine. So when we were named captains, we just knew it was going to be such a great year together, and we've been kind of on this ride together for a very long time.
that's been really awesome. And she kind of keeps the defense intact, and I keep the offense intact, so we kind of work off each other that way.
You know, you can't have any more team dinners, so what do you do in place of that?
Oh, yeah, that's just been really hard. We kind of tried doing stuff over the summer, but, I mean, mostly it's the bonding on the bus rides and just, like, before practices start that we kind of all talk with each other. That's how we kind of – and I know a lot of the girls keep in contact outside of soccer, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really helpful.
Abby, very, very impressive. Coach was right to let me talk with you. I really appreciate it. I know you're going places. We're going to follow you. And thank you for taking the time tonight. Best of luck, and keep everybody safe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ab. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That is Abby Sturm, who is the Hamilton Wenham soccer captain. She's one of the co-captains on that team. And as I've been mentioning, they are at 5-0-2. All right, we're sort of into a groove now. I think things are working. We are broadcasting. All right, that's good. And Abby's phone there was a little cranky at first, but it came, got with the program here. So what we're going to do now is take a break. Got to run a couple of spots here. Then we're going to bring in Gary and Mike. Gary Larrabee, Mike Grenier, sports journalists. And we're going to just roll the dice and see where we go with that, because it's been that kind of a night. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns, I'll try to get a hold of him later on. We'll see if we can talk with him probably about some pro stuff. Okay, so let me see if I can find the right button. Let's try that one, and we'll be right back.
Blue Collar Lobster at the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, is open daily from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. for takeout, outdoor dining, or inside table service at the Cafe Seven Seas. Blue Collar Lobster offers high-top tables with umbrellas, a tented area with tables and chairs, a canopy area with picnic tables, and seating in the open-air portion of Cafe Seven Seas, all with a view of the working harbor. Full bar service is available, and bartenders are ready to make you a delicious cocktail. Enjoy the food and the view, and stay as long as you like at Blue Collar Lobster, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. To view the Blue Collar Lobster menu, visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we are back now, and if I've got this thing correct, I'm missing my engineer here with Tim. Tim usually presses all the buttons for me, and then I can concentrate. Anyway, Gary Larrabee is here, Mike Grenier is here, both sports journalists, longtime sports journalists. How are you, gentlemen?
Well, Gary, I got to say, it feels like old times. Oftentimes, we were in a football booth together at Manning Bowl or Manning Field or Hurd Stadium or Bertram, right, Gary, with Rick?
So this is nice and cozy. I like this.
It is. Yeah. And this is your classic definition of social distancing, I guess. we got three different cities here we're talking from.
That's great.
You know, Mike, you bring up something here. I want to get to let's get the golf thing first, because yeah. that's still active. And Gary, what is going on? I mean, the Masters is still a couple of weeks away, so what's happening?
Let's talk some local golf tonight, guys, real quickly before we move on to even better stuff. And let you guys know, if you have an extra $20 million to spend, that Turn the Hill Golf Club up in Ipswich is for sale. And the membership rejected a $15 million bid last week.
Ooh.
So I think they're looking for more dough, maybe $20 million. But I know that money's floating around somewhere. They do have $8 million in debt, I was informed today. So it could be an interesting development, because we've had some great golf courses be lost in recent years around here. They're all public. This is a private club we're talking about here. One of the most beautiful golf courses on the North Shore. But if either of you get $20 million lying around, you might want to put a bid in.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check my Social Security check if that covers it. Rick, I don't know. Will you cover it? Can you cover the rest?
Let me get back to you on that, Mike.
Yes, okay. We'll have to discuss that at a later time.
Yeah, for sure.
So the one other item I'd like to I'll mention, guys, and we can move on. We can save the Pro Tour stuff for the next time we get Tim together with us. But St. John's Prep was involved in a Catholic Conference one-day tournament today at Worcester Country Club. Cold and murky and wet, but the golfers are a tough breed, as Mike knows. And St. John's Prep finished a disappointing third, shooting 310. The winning score was arch rival Zverin, who shot 299. the Prep four scorers who counted, they were all pretty high. Alex Landry was 75. Aiden LeBlanc was 78, which would normally not be his number. He would usually shoot in the low to mid-70s at worst. Emmett Phelan also shot 78. And two guys, Ian Rourke and Terry Meaning, shot 79. So it didn't work out today for the Prep. But guys, they can still have their 12th undefeated perfect dual match regular season if they can beat Malden Catholic next Friday at playing that, where are they playing? At Mount Hood and Melrose. And they beat Malden Catholic by like 67 shots the first time they faced. So Coach Phil Roach has a good chance to still finish the season on a very high note on Friday. And that's the end of my golf talk this morning, this evening, guys.
All right. Well, that's good. We can, I like the update again, up to the minute stuff. You know, a thought crossed my mind, and I don't know where you guys want to go with this because it's sort of an open forum, but one of the things I wanted to ask both of you is, I'll start with Mike, watching the Patriots game yesterday was very painful, of course, but that's not my main thrust. My main thrust is all of the professional sports, and I'm going to put this word in quotes, journalists that are out there right now, there are so many of them. There are so many podcasts, so many blogs. And I remember not that long ago, we'd have to go to you guys who were there in person, or we'd have to go to the Boston papers who were there in person. But now, it seems like everybody's an expert. And I wonder what the effect is or how that's changed in terms of how you look at things. Mike, start with you.
Well, I think, well, first of all, when you have Bill Belichick coaching, they've got to tune out the noise, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And I think, you know, the players might tune it in and when they check their Twitter account and all that. But, I mean, Belichick's going to insulate that from them when they get into their little, quote, bubble right there in Foxborough. So I think they try to ignore the noise because, obviously, it can play with your mind if everybody tells you you've just played a horrible game or you're having a horrible season. And Belichick just won't allow that to happen. Now, you know, that being said, they still do have some obvious problems. And I think Gary, anybody who watches the games can see what happened yesterday. Cam Newton is not having a good season after having a couple of promising games early in the year. They have a lot of things to fix, starting with not just Cam Newton, but we're talking the offensive line. We're just talking also the overall defense yesterday. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers had the ball for nearly 40 minutes out of the 60 yesterday. So, yes, part of that is Cam Newton's fault because they went 3 and out and he threw 3 interceptions, but also the defense was on the field entirely too long, giving up way too many yards. So there's a multitude of problems there, and I think what we're seeing, and Gary, I'd like you to chip in on this, with the Patriots being so successful for 19, 20 years, that people forget that they're not drafting number 1 or number 2 or number 8 in the first. They're drafting 29th and 30th and 31st. So when you have a cumulative effect of that, they're not getting high draft picks. I mean, you look at the Jets, they're still the worst team in the world, and yet they're looking forward to trying to draft the number 1 quarterback in the nation, Trevor Lawrence, out of Clemson. Well, they just drafted Sam Darnell out of USC, who was a highly rated guy just a couple of years ago. So they're being mismanaged all over the place, yet they're being rewarded by having high draft picks. But, Gary, my question is, is that a valid point? The Patriots have been drafting so low in the first round every year that you're going to have a season like this eventually.
You sound like a Bill Belichick apologist here. My goodness, Mike, I'm shocked.
No, I'm not I'm just saying that they're in terrible draft. They don't get the high draft picks, you know?
Well, hey, well, if you look at Belichick's draft record the last 4 or 5 years, not very impressive. And the big issue these days is the fact he didn't draft someone like this kid Kittle from who played for his good buddy Kirk Ferentz out at Iowa.
Yeah.
Example number one. Number two, he picked N'Keal Harry as his number one choice 2 years ago, and he has not panned out well at all, and now he's hurt. Bill has had a very, very mediocre draft history of the last 5 to 7 years, although Garoppolo's an exception.
Yeah.
But, of course, that got screwed up anyways with the money situation and Brady wanting to stay and keep playing at a Super Bowl level. But the fact remains right now they're in big trouble, very weak on both sides of the ball. I'm not sure where Belichick's going to go with this, but as someone wrote in the Globe today, I think it was Ben Volen. Belichick, the general manager, has not been a very good friend of Belichick, the coach, the last few years, and I'm not sure where they go from here. I don't know how much they can improve themselves, guys, next week before the trade deadline comes. Newton has failed miserably, even after, as you say, a good start, Mike. But I think it all goes back, guys, if we didn't have such a problem, and there was a big problem between Brady and Belichick the last few years, and why Belichick would cause, I think, the problems getting along and with paying Brady, when Brady's supposed to be the football-playing son that Bobby Kraft never had. I don't call him Robert. I don't call him Mr. Kraft. And I think, guys, that's where this whole trouble started. I'm not surprised we're seeing the Patriots go to Buffalo next week as a major underdog.
Yeah, that good point, Gary, because, when a player leaves the team I'm rooting for, I kind of lose track of him. But over the years, I was baffled by the fact that here you have the preeminent player in the game, and he was a bargain basement, payment. I don't get that. Can I ask you guys another? And Gary, I'll go back to you. When the Red Sox are not in the World Series, I tend not to watch it. Are you watching the series?
Only a spot check. I'm a spot checker, Mike. Mike's more of a baseball man than I am. So go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say, sort of like you, Gary. I didn't watch Rick any of the regular season because it was a 60-game season, very compressed, which told me that in the short run, any team could make the playoffs, and even mediocre teams could make the playoffs. And they expanded the playoffs. Besides shortening the season, they expanded the playoffs. So I really didn't pay much attention till the World Series. But actually, it's been a pretty good and entertaining World Series. Now, the Dodgers, longtime team. You go back. I used to watch Sandy Koufax as a kid and Don Drysdale, and they have fabulous teams. And they're still good now. And Dave Roberts, who a lot of course, Red Sox fans are familiar with, is managing that team, and Mookie Betts is contributing heavily. So, they're an interesting team to watch, and Kershaw is an excellent pitcher. He's won 2 World Series games so far, whereas the Tampa Rays are sort of the orphans of the whole all of baseball. They're just about the smallest payroll in all of baseball, $28 million, yet here they are on the big stage. And, they need to rally to win this series, but if they can win 2 games here, they got it all. And the thing about the Rays is they're constructed in a very modern sense by analytics. Some people hate that. The manager comes out every half inning or every inning and replaces a pitcher just to get one out. It can be very tedious. However, that's the way they win. And when you have a small payroll, if that's the only way you can find to win, you're going to do it. There's some brains in that organization because they are making the right moves, or they wouldn't be 2 wins away from World Series championship.
Well, Gary, I got another. I got one more interview coming up, and I've kind of screwed up the schedule here tonight. But what catches your eye? What are you watching besides golf then at this time?
Gary, is there anything else besides golf to watch right now? I think there wasn't anything else.
I'm sorry. There's Formula One. There's NASCAR. I jest. Oh, I don't know.
I know. It's a fair question. I'm a sports fan, so I'm rooting like hell for the Rays. I wouldn't mind if Tampa becomes the new professional sports capital of America with the Stanley Cup winners, a potential Super Bowl contender at least, then if they could somehow beat the Dodgers for 2 more go around. The Dodgers have were they number one, number two in terms of a payroll compared to Tampa Bay, which is right down near the bottom.
Right.
And what could be a better way to, you know, we saw that with the Marlins when the Marlins won a couple times. And
yeah.
I'd love to see Tampa Bay win it, but I'm beyond that. I'm watching a little bit of college football when it's convenient, and I'll always watch my Ohio State Buckeyes since I was out there for 2 years in the late 60s trying to learn to be a sports writer. And beyond that, the NFL, I think we're all still paying attention. There's always so many great storylines every weekend with the NFL, whether you like the sport or like the way things are being run. They've trying to, you know, plow the schedule through the pandemic. There's still tons of sports to watch, thankfully, but I still love a good old-fashioned movie, Rick, once in a while.
There you go. But I've been surprised.
I can chime in. Gary, we mentioned Tampa. To me, Tom Brady is a must-watch every Sunday. Yesterday, he was 33 for 45, 369 yards, four touchdowns. He got the second most touchdown passes of anybody in the league. We're talking a league that has Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson and some other young guns. And here's Brady. I was watching him yesterday. He looked as sharp as he did 10 years ago. You know, four touchdown passes. He was on the mark with his Gronkowski. He's become a more prominent target for him the last 2 or 3 weeks. They're a fun team to watch. They're 5-2. And it kind of speaks to what you said about Belichick and maybe wanting Brady out the door. I think it was more of a mutual thing. I think Brady was ready to move on from Belichick as well. But he's found his niche down there pretty quickly in Tampa. And my goodness, there's got to be a lot of excitement in the fan base down there because they've been a perennial losers. And to have Tom Brady right now sitting at 5-2 and putting up huge numbers, they've got to be very excited.
Pretty amazing.
And he has a lot more weapons down there, a lot more players down there than they had last year, I think, in New England.
Oh, no question.
And that's still a proven fact that a quarterback is only as good as his supporting cast. And he's had plenty of those in New England. But right now, he sure has a great supporting cast in Tampa.
And I've enjoyed watching.
He's 43 years old, Gary, and I think a lot of people felt he was going to be washed up and not be able to produce this year. And I think somehow he keeps himself in marvelous physical shape, and certainly mentally he's still engaged. So therefore, he's still an elite quarterback in my mind.
And he is fun to watch, and I think that the thing that's amazed me is, Gary mentioned college football. I'm watching a little, probably more college football than I have in about 30 years, and the quality of the games in terms of, in relation to the virus is good. I mean, it looks like you're watching a normal college football season. Same way with the NFL. I think the coverage on the NFL, with a few exceptions in terms of announcers, the quality of the games, the broadcast, is excellent. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it is.
And there are so many storylines, guys. I talked about the NFL having so many great storylines, but any weekend in college football,
yep,
there are so many wonderful storylines. And the one that jumped out at me most this past weekend was the fact that Ohio State beat Nebraska by like 37, 38, maybe 40 points. I asked myself, what the hell has happened in Nebraska football since Tom Osborne left? What a sad story that's become. I don't know how the folks are living in Omaha and Lincoln and how they're even surviving out there.
Well, Gary, now, listen now. We haven't mentioned Notre Dame yet, my team.
There you go.
You know, and they're ranked number four in the country. And somehow they dropped from number three to number four despite a 45-3 win over Pittsburgh Saturday. I don't understand that. But your Ohio – Gary, I would like you to explain to me how Ohio State went for a touchdown with 20 seconds left, up by 35 points. And the coach explained it by saying, I had a young quarterback in there, and I didn't have the right personnel to take a kneel down. Okay? So he had to publicly apologize to the Nebraska coach. So, Gary, you got to explain that to me. Why did Ohio State rub it in?
Hey, that's their mentality. Because the head coach is now is a native of New Hampshire. So he's a New Englander from way back when. And because he took the job after he had been assisting Urban Meyer for all those years out there. And, hey, I'm not going to ask these guys to make any excuse. It's all about rankings. It's all about making the playoffs.
You're right. You're right. And
I'm afraid,
Gary,
that's the bottom line. I know.
Yeah.
And
Michael,
as you know, it's all a big money game all the way around.
And, you know, the previous week, you know, obviously I am kidding because I think of Clemson the previous week winning 73-7, 73-7 over Georgia Tech. Come on. You don't think they could have taken easy, but you're right. They want to retain that number one ranking, and the more impressive the score is, the more the voters, the coach, even the coaches who vote say, oh, yeah, they got to be phenomenal because they won 73-7 and not just 52-7.
And Mike and Rick, we had Georgia Tech taking it big time from BC this past weekend,
correct.
which sets up the game of the century next weekend, BC and Clemson, which will probably be 73-7.
Oh boy!
Oh my! BC's better than we think, though, Gary. Their number one quarterback is the kid who transferred from Notre Dame.
Well, let's talk about that next week then. That sounds good. I like this, and I appreciate it, guys. Did I see Mark Whipple somewhere on the sidelines with somebody? He's running the offense for somebody.
Right, he is.
I can't remember.
UMass anymore. How about UMass? I don't understand the mentality
of
the school, Rick.
Nope.
This is the flagship school.
I don't get it.
Nope. They play one game. They were a 31-point underdog. They lost 41-0.
Yep.
And now they don't have another game till like November or something or other. They're sort of making up the schedules. They go, obviously, everything is COVID-related, but I'm not quite sure what they're doing.
Yeah, but if you're not ready for prime time, then don't play. You know, get the hell out of Division One.
Right.
You know,
I think that's been a problem for a few years.
BC has a hard enough time in Division One, and you know, I don't know what UMass thinks. You know, it doesn't make any sense. I'm a UMass. UMass is my school, and it kills me to see what happens every Saturday. Boys, this is great. Let's plan on doing it again next week if you guys are up for it.
Absolutely, I'll be up for it. Gary, you'll be up for it.
But without a doubt.
I love it.
Hey.
Okay. Thank you, guys, and everybody stay safe. See you next week.
Please tell Tim.
Have a great week, guys.
Get well.
I will.
Yeah, please tell Tim we said get well soon, all right?
Absolutely, and I'll talk to him next. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that's Gary Larrabee, Mike Grenier, sports journalist, mostly with the Salem News, but still doing it after all these years. And between them, God, they know everything there is to know about sports in the area and elsewhere too. So I want to thank them both very much. Got to get a hold of the Masconomet boys soccer coach Jared Scarpacci here in just a minute. We'll take one more break. You're listening to MSO New Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and we'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back with Masconomet boys soccer coach Jared Scarpacci, an absolute legend, of course. Masconomet coming into the Northeastern Conference from the Cape Ann League and just dominating the CAL for the last 300 or 400 years, and doing it again, coach. So welcome back and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit about this role through the NEC. You guys are scoring. You're scoring a lot.
We are, and I got to tell you, there's some good teams, the Peabody team and the Gloucester team, and I actually thought they all have been good, Swampscott and Salem. Salem was the first game, you know. I think they're sort of in a transitional year itself, and I think it was new for all of us that first game with all those COVID rules, but, you know, the league is a strong league, and we've been doing well. We've sort of... we've been doing what we've always been doing as far as how we train and what we do. So it's been great to see that it works in the NEC just like it does in the Cal.
All right. Some highlights, maybe mention a name or two in some of the games because, again, your offense is an absolute machine. So talk about some of that.
Carmine DiPietrantonio is...
I'm glad you said that because I was waiting for you to pronounce it. That's good. Thanks.
We just call him Carmine.
Okay.
It doesn't get not many confusions there with him. He has really come on very strong as a player. He was a strong player last year, but just, couldn't find the net as much as he has this year, but he's really comfortable on the ball, and I'm really happy for him and what he's come into himself as a player. Sam Brockelman is a junior up top, and he's done a great job. But I really think it's about the other guys sort of behind them, really, in the defense. They have been feeding the ball to the midfield, and the midfield has been able to find and transition the ball into the forward. So I think that's been really the key. It's really been not just the guys being able to finish; it's being really the transition to be able to get the ball to them, which I think has been our greatest success this year so far.
In high school football, when you get a big lead, you can substitute fairly freely at certain points in the game. Do you do the same thing in soccer if you have a comfortable lead? I mean, I don't know how that works.
We do. Everyone has gotten in every game, which has been great. And we have some younger guys. We've transitioned up some freshmen to be able to, from our JV program, because we've had some injuries. So we took some guys to come up and play into the varsity for next year, which has been good for them. So it's great to see those guys come in, and you know, they're working hard and trying to earn minutes, and they're earning the spot. So when they go up there, when they go in there, our key is, we don't call them substitutes, we call them game changers.
Okay.
We want them to change the game when they get into it, all right? Change it for the better, hopefully. And they have been doing really well.
And it keeps it rolling from year to year. Finally, Coach, maybe a little bit, how many more games you guys have left?
Well, it's a good question. I think we've got four, possibly.
Okay.
This seems, there's a lot going on these days with the quarantine.
What's on the schedule this week?
We are quarantined this week, the next 2 weeks, because we played against Peabody last week on Tuesday, and there was a player on Peabody that tested positive for COVID. So we had indirect contact with the player, not direct contact. So we are taking this week and a little bit of next week off. We're back the 4th. So
okay.
We're back the 4th, and I think it's against, I'm not 100% sure.
Right, okay. Well, safety first, and that's the most important thing. And up to this point, it's been great, so you don't want to spoil that. I get that.
Absolutely.
Coach, it's awesome. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you so much, and be safe yourself.
You bet. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
That is Jared Scarpacci, who is the boys' soccer coach at Masconomet High School. One more break. Let me see if I can bring Tim in here from, I don't know where he is. We'll find out. And that'll do it. We got through the program. Yay, we did make it. But it was a little touch and go there for a while. I don't know why. But we'll try it again next week. We will be back. But let me see if I can get a hold of Tim. So hang on.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we have made connections with Tim Kearns, and Coach, how are you doing?
I'm good, live from the Pingree Wing of Salem Hospital.
Well, I didn't know if I should mention that or not, but how are things going, man? You going to be home soon?
Well, the surgery went well, from all indications. I'm a little sore, still flushing some of the meds out of me. But yeah, if the x-ray goes good tomorrow and everything is where it's supposed to be, I'll be leaving and heading home.
Excellent. And it's still going to be another 6 months before we can get you back in here pushing buttons? Minimum, because we don't know.
Yeah, I'm on a driving restriction again.
You're killing me, man. All right, listen, I was just talking to Mike Grenier and Gary Larrabee a little bit about watching sports on TV. You able to watch stuff there and there? If so, what have you been watching?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was able to watch the Patriots yesterday. I've been watching some of the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Well, what catches your eye about the World Series, Coach? Because I haven't seen anything. I've been reading about it, but I haven't seen any of the games.
It's been a very entertaining, the way that the Tampa Bay pulled the win out the other day. Some of their starting pitchers got knocked up a bit. Just speaks to the depth of L.A. Both teams are setting records with some of their hitting. So for the fans, it's been very entertaining, and that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm surprised at the quality of football that's going on right now, both in college and in the pros, with the exception of yesterday's game. It's kind of fun to watch, and it feels good, especially given the climate that we're in right now, where it's just bad news every day, nationally and internationally, and it is that little relief to be able to watch sports in the evening.
Yeah, it is. It takes your mind off it. It's got to be strange for the players to be, playing in these empty stadiums, much like the professional soccer all around the world. The stadiums are empty, or there's a few stadiums with a couple thousand people, but certainly not many. But it shows it talks to the ability of the players to adjust and to focus on the mission at hand.
Yeah, I think, and again, it's a respite for me. It's a little bit of something being normal. I was mentioning the other day that I don't know if I told you, but I had to talk to my primary care physician a couple of weeks ago prior to cataract surgery, and she was saying that she feels pretty optimistic about a vaccine being ready, not necessarily being distributed, but being ready locally by the end of November, and that would probably mean I don't want to put words in her mouth, but within 4, 5, 6 months that this thing could be getting out there pretty quickly. So we seem to be, I don't know, to me it seems like we're not going to go anywhere until we get a vaccine.
No, of course not. You've got the, and I'll call him what I consider him, the nitwit in chief, talking about that vaccine is right around the corner. Everybody's going to be able to get it. And that's not the case at all. There may be a vaccine, but it's got to continue to go through trials. And even Fauci said, you're not going to see a vaccine until, mid, at best, 2021. So for anybody to get all jacked up and think that vaccine is coming anytime soon is delusional. And, that's just one. And if you got a setback, you're looking pushing back to later in 2021 into 2022, and so people have to be realistic. I was watching James Cobble tonight earlier, and he was asked a question, and he goes, "It's the pandemic, stupid." talking to the moderator, and that's what it is. It's a pandemic. It's a worldwide epidemic of massive proportions that there's no vaccine for, there's no cure for, until people wake up and realize the true extent and the seriousness of this medical emergency, we're going to continue to see spike after spike after spike and rising cases and rising death numbers.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to be optimistic and think that this thing
But no one knows how long that tunnel is. That's the thing.
Yep, that's true.
Well, look at the spikes throughout the country. You've got into the 40s a number of the states that are seeing rising numbers, rising deaths. 225,000 plus Americans have died.
Yep.
It's not slowing down because we have not tried to address it in a fashion that's designed to slow it down.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm trying to figure out what I did here. And again, sports is my escape from that. Sports and read any good books lately?
I'm currently reading another Tolkien volume that I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Yeah. One of my friends sent me a message. He says, "How you doing? You reading Tolkien?" And I sent back, "Yes."
Oh my goodness!
With a picture of the cover.
Well, so. We asked our daughter the other day, if she's a senior now at Drexel, and we asked her, does she read for pleasure anymore? And she said, "Yes, of course. I just read Plato's Republic last night." Okay.
I read that my sophomore year in college.
Well, she read it last night, so it's like, yeah, okay. It took. I got a little bit through it, but no. She reread it, I guess, and that's the way things are at the moment. But I don't know. It's going to get better. It's going to get better, and we got to keep doing the right thing, Coach.
Therein lies the cure: doing the right thing, not having massive rallies of thousands of people not protected.
Well, I think we are doing a pretty good job here, at least in Massachusetts, so we got to keep doing that.
Yeah, but what are you seeing? You had over 1,000 new cases in Massachusetts today alone.
Well, again, it's going to get better. All right, Coach.
I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, Rick. I'm just, this is the reality of the situation. You know, it got better because we were strict with it. And then once the numbers went down, people wanted to open up. So they opened up, and what happened? Surge. Major surge. 800 plus cases. 1,000 plus cases. You know? Places closing up again. Places going back to phase three, step one. Because, you know, there's just too many cases showing up.
All right. I hope you get safe. Get home soon. And
I will do that.
Yeah, I need you back here, but it's going to be a while. All right, Coach. Good talking with you. And I'll give you a jingle tomorrow.
All right, Eric.
All right.
Thanks,
Tim. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
All right, bye-bye. That is Tim Kearns, our MSO sports analyst. And I think that's going to take care of it this evening. Thank you for being with us. It was a little herky-jerky here this evening, but we made it, and thanks to all of our guests. This is MSONewsSports.com, and this has been North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. Be safe. Do the right thing.